Lord. May this Holy Communion strengthen our faith, deepen our love for one another, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Help us, O Lord, to remember the Great Commission for the cause of our salvation and to live in gratitude of your grace. Father, you say every time we come, my Lord and my Father, we shall do this in remembrance of you. Father, in heaven we ask that you remember us in Jesus' mighty name. You remember mercy, O God. You remember, O Lord, the good works of my Lord and my Father. As you remember Abraham and you deliver Lot, O God. Father, we pray that you shall remember us and deliver this land in Jesus' mighty name. As you remember Noah, O God, and you say you shall not make this world deceptive again. Father, remember us, O God, and save us in this land in Jesus' mighty name. As you remember Rachel, O God, and you make her fruitful. Father, remember us, O God, and make us fruitful in Jesus' mighty name. As you remember Daniel, my Lord and my Father, and save him from the Babylonian system. Father, remember us, O God, and save us from the hands of evil in Jesus' mighty name. As you remember, my Lord and my Father, Jeremiah, O God, Father, remember us, O Lord, and give us that hope and a future in this land, in Jesus' mighty name. Remember mercy, remember mercy, remember mercy, remember the good work of our hand in this land. We shall not die, but we shall live to declare the good works of the Lord in this land. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, remember us. Don't leave us nor forsake us, but continue to abide with us from now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Good morning and welcome to the Word. We have a challenge of time, but we are going to work on it very quickly. Let us read the word of God in Exodus chapter 12 and also Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we start with Exodus 12. We are going to read verse 6, 20, 26 and 27. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshiped. That's the word from Exodus. Let us take Deuteronomy 6. Verse 4 until 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 until 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk alone along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That is the word of God. Today we are talking about our service and it is impact on the future generation. Our service, we can replace service with our life. Our life, and it is impact on the future generation. And these two texts from Exodus and Deuteronomy will help us to understand the message of today. Our God is known to be the God of all generations. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So from one generation to another, God works with all generations. We are going to bring two elements which will help us to understand this word today. And the first, which we can find through the word we have read today, is the family. The family is a good example today to impact the future generation. But the second, we are going to come with three strategies which can help you to impact the future generation. And the third strategy is, the first is listening to God. And the second is printing, engraving the word of God in your heart. And the third is witnessing to the future generation. So let us start with the first, the family. God counts on the family to impact the future. And as I've said, yes, we may know the family as the father, the son, the grandsons, the aunt, and all those who are living at home in your house. But the family is everywhere you are living. Gomaville is our family. Because here in Gomaville, we have fathers, we have brothers, we have sisters, we have friends. So as we are living in Gomaville, Gomaville has become our family. So everywhere you are living, that is your family. Are you working in a school? That is your family. Are you working in an organization? That is your family. Are you working in a market? That is a family. So those people you are meeting every day, every morning, every evening, those you talk to them every day. These people are the member of your family. So God counts on the family. When you read the Bible, you find that many texts in the Bible are written in the context of the family. Whenever he talks about someone, he also mentions the member of the family. And that's what we find in the Bible. When you read Genesis chapter 17, God says in verse 8, that I will give the land to you, Abraham, but also to your descendants. I will be your God, you, Abraham, but also I will be called the God of your family, of your descendants. So God will not talk about you and forget your family. He talks, and the word he is sharing with you concerns also your family. When you read Exodus chapter 10, verse 1 to 2, the Lord is talking to Moses. He says, Moses, go into Pharaoh's, and I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servant. I will show my signs among them. And immediately he says, I hope that you will tell this to your family. You will tell this to your sons. You will tell this to your daughters. You will tell this to your grandson. So he talks to Moses, but immediately he thinks about the family, which will come after Moses. And it is that why, for this reason, when we walk with God, God will create situations which will oblige us to talk to our family, to talk to our children. And that is what we read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 26. When your children ask you, What does this ceremony mean to you? Then you will have the opportunity to respond to them. It is the Passover sacrifice the Lord did. The angels passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt. The angels spared our houses, but he struck the Egyptians. So God creates situations to talk to the future generation. The future generation, which is represented by our children and the youth we have among us. You know that young people, children, are very curious. They want to understand everything. So they will ask questions to you. So be ready to respond to all the questions which are coming from the future generation, which is represented by our children. Let me take, for example, the Holy Communion ceremony we have shared here. I know that if there is children, they must ask questions to their mother or to their father. But Daddy, why did you take the bread and the cup at church? Because he wants to understand. So God needs someone who is honest, who may be able to talk to him and say, I take this because I was a sinner and Jesus saved me. And that's why I'm celebrating my salvation by taking the bread and also the cup. God is looking for people today who are honest, who may be able to share and talk to their children, to plant something new to this generation so that this may work in the future. And the good place for God is the family. The school for God is the family. It is not the temple. The school is not the Sunday school. The very good place and school for him is the family. So if you want to reach the future generation, work with the generation in the family. You may read too many verses. I think I can mention the verse of Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, where Abraham was working with his son Isaac. And when they were on the way for the sacrifice, you remember that Isaac asked the question, but Daddy, we have already the fire, but where is the lamb? Yeah, while working with young people among us, they will ask questions. So don't lose that opportunity to respond honestly to their question, because God will create times and so that you may share the word to them. Let us quickly talk about the three strategies, and I think we'll do it in time. Three strategies which may help you to talk to the future generation. The first is listening to the word. Listening to the word. If you want to teach the future generation, listen to the word. Listen to God every day. And that's what we read. Hear, O Israel. Listen to me, O Israel. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You will not teach without listening to God. You cannot imagine, you cannot create your own lesson. So take the lesson from God himself. Listening helps someone to practice. And actually, listening is not different to act. I know that it may be different in different languages, but in our mother, if you say, this child does not hear me, does not listen, it is to say he does nothing. So you can talk to him. It is not to say that he has no ear. He has ear. So this child does not listen to me, does not hear me. It is to say, I talk to him, but he does nothing. So here, listening is not different to acting. And the Lord is saying, listen to me and love me. So listening and loving goes together. You cannot say that you listen to God and you do not love him. It is not possible. So if you listen to him, that is to say you love him with all your soul and your with all your strength. And we know all that. To love as it is defined in the Bible, when you read John chapter 14, verse 23, the beginning of that verse is say, if anyone loves me, then he will keep my word. So you cannot love without keeping the word of God. And according to Deuteronomy, loving God goes together with transmitting his commandments to children, to the future generation. It is to say that we who are living today, who are going to disappear tomorrow, if we cannot transmit the commandment to the future generation, that is to say, we do not listen to God and we do not love him. So if we want to impact the future generation, listen to God, love him, then transmit his commandment to the future generation and you may disappear, but the future will not forget you. The second strategy, it is engraving the commandment in the heart. Verse 6 says, these commandments that I give you are to be on your heart. The problem of the law of Moses is that it was not on the heart. The law was written on the tablet. So the problem is that something which is on the tablet would not impact the heart, because the sin is not on the tablet. The sin is in the heart. So it was something which is coming from outside. It was considered as an order from outside. It was an obligation. It was not coming from the heart. And that's why when we read Jeremiah, God is changing his strategy, saying, I'm going to change my strategy. And that is Jeremiah 31, 33. God is saying, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So something which is outside cannot help, but something which is inside, God decides to write the law inside the spirit. We all know the law. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. That was written on the table, on the stone, on the tablet. But it is the same law. Today, we cannot commit adultery. We cannot lie. Yeah, we cannot steal. The difference is that it is not coming from the tablet. It is coming from our heart. It is already written by the Holy Spirit on our heart. So when we do not steal, we do it not as an obligation, but we accomplish it with joy because we are pushed from the heart. It is coming from the heart. So today, brothers and sisters, if you want to impact the future generation, make sure that all the commandments of God are written in your heart, on your heart. So everything you will do will be coming from the inside of you. It will not be an obligation. And people will see that what you are doing, you accomplish it with joy. because it is pushed by the Holy Spirit from your heart. Are you working in the ministry? Make sure that is not coming from the tablet. You are not pushed to work in your ministry, but be sure that it is pushed by the Holy Spirit from the heart. And that is the second strategy, because the future generation will discover that this man, this woman is working, and what she is doing is really something which comes from the heart. Then the last strategy, it is witnessing. The young generation wants to hear how we walk with God and share our own testimony. They don't want to hear from theories, but they want someone who can tell them how he, after 20 years, 40 years, 50 years in the church, walking with God, how he can testify that he saw him and he saw the wonders of the Lord. So the Bible says in verse 7, you shall teach. Another version said, you will impress. And when I read about impressing, it is not different with printing. So you shall print the commandment in the heart of the future generation. So don't talk words and theories, and do not be sure that the word, the commandment, is already printed in the heart of the future generation. You and me all know, maybe you continue to remember, my father is old, but when I listen to him, he remembers what his father told to him. And you can understand that the word was printed in his heart. Yeah, to impress something is to put a mark which can be seen. So don't put a mark on the body of your child, on the body of the future generation. But the place you are asked to put the word is in the heart of your children, the future generation. And after that, you may be sure that you can impact him today and tomorrow, and when you will not be there. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to serve the future generation, work in your family. And I've said that the family is not only the home where we are living with the father, the son, and children, but everywhere you are living, that is your family. And make sure that you apply the three strategies. The first is listening. Listen to God every time, every day. The second is engraving the word of God in your heart. And the third is witnessing to the future generation by putting the word inside their heart. And you will be serving the God of all generations. May the Lord bless each of you. Amen.